Morning. Today's daf and Baba Basra's Kuf Aleph. We start today with the Mishnah and Kuf Amud Beis. We're talking now today about catacombs. Minag Yashan, the old Minag was to be buried underground, and that's continuing to this very day. Minag Yashan was to be buried in a cave. Think of the first cave that we know about where somebody was buried, and that would be referred to as Maras HaMachpelah. So Maras HaMachpelah, so we had Avraham Avinu buying the cave for his just recently deceased wife. And as we know, others were buried in that cave as well. Just keep that thought in mind. We're going to come back to Maras HaMachpelah in just a couple minutes from now as we learn the Gemara together. So we're going to be starting with the Mishnah. Why are we talking about catacombs, caves, and burial in Baba Basra? The answer is because we're talking about transaction. And like we have been doing now for some time, the fourth, fifth, sixth parak of Baba Basra, we talked about the general expectations that are made when a person purchases whatever, a house, a boat. And so now we're talking about the purchasing of a burial plot. Okay, you get to that point in life where you start thinking about, hey, I need to buy one of those. Just it's realities of life. So we're talking now about the transaction of buying a burial plot and what's the expected purchase. Now again, you'd like everything to be clear and as much detail as you can fill out, you'll do so. And obviously, in the course of our discussion, we're going to be talking about the stum, the generic, meaning what does a generic burial plot look like? What does a catacomb look like? So we're going to be discussing today in very specific detail exactly what the catacomb looks like and how it looked like people were buried. So I'm So the Mishnah starts off. We're on the bottom of Kuf Amud Beis. You sell a place to your friend in order to make a kever, in order to make a grave. Let's say you're a kablan, and you were requisitioned, you were contracted in order to build a kever for somebody. So what is it going to look like? Stum, meaning this is now the generic kever. So the first thing we're going to talk about is 4x6. 4x6 now is going to be the actual cave itself. In other words, we'll be more detailed over the course of this stuff in terms of describing it. The Rashbam has a lot of pictures over here, and they're extraordinarily helpful. So I strongly encourage you to take a look at the Rashbam inside. We're going to go through some Rashbams together. So we're talking about the cave itself. The cave is 4x6. 4x6 over here is Amos. The Mishnah says so. You don't even have to guess. Dal Amos al Shesh. So it's 4x6 Amos. So you're not really talking about a large area. We don't have height over here mentioned in the Mishnah. Tosos mentions. The height was 4 Amos tall. Okay, so really it's a really small area. It's a small room underground. Take a moment to try to picture it. 4x6 is something to the tune of 8x12 feet. That's the size of the room, and the height is, let's say, it's 8 feet off the ground. Okay, so it's a really small room underground. And opening now into this cave are going to be 8 crypts. 8 crypts are going to open up into this cave. Now you want a configuration. So first I'll read the Mishnah. So it's 3 on one side, 3 on the other side, and 2 opposite the entrance. So take a look on the next Amud, where you're going to see a picture in the Rashbam. There are 2 pictures in the Rashbam. One where you see there is a courtyard in the middle of 6x6, and a cave on one side and a cave on the other side. And then you'll see the picture below where there's a courtyard in the middle and 4 caves on each one of the 4 sides. So right now, ignore the second picture. We're going to come back to that later. And look right now at the top picture in the Rashbam on Kuf Aleph Amud Aleph. And you can... Oh, wow. 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 Where's this? Okay. You can take a look at the Rashbam over here, and the Rashbam in the top picture. So he has a chatzah. We haven't talked about the chatzah yet. We haven't talked about the courtyard. We're going to talk about in just a moment from now. But let's talk about the Mara, the cave itself. So now you have in the Rashbam each cave, 3 on one side, 3 on the other side, and two opposite. So that's a total of 8 crypts. The crypts obviously were wide enough where we could basically insert body into the crypt. Okay, a couple of interesting things over here in terms of numbers, dimensions, etc., etc. First, let's take a look at the Rashbam. The first Rashbam in the Mishnah also so kever. Vehim lo yirigimli kaver echad echad bifnei atzmo. Ela kol b'nei mishpacha nikbarim b'ma'ara acha. So the minhag back then is that you had an entire family being buried in one cave. Kol echad bekuch b'fnei atzma, everyone in their own crypt. Hilkach hamochel lechaver makom kever machlo makom lebeiz ma'aruz v'chatz b'neihem. So therefore, the generic sale of a kever was the sale of an entire courtyard, like you're seeing in the picture on the next Amud, with caves on both sides. Now, how many caves went out of the Chatzir? According to the Tanakam, which is what we're focusing on right now, two caves. And according to Rabbi Shimon, four caves, which we're going to talk about later on. Okay. The next Rashbam, I mentioned this already outside, but I'm going to read it inside. Osa Tocha Shel Ma'ara. We're not talking about the cave itself. Klamar, Osa Chalal Shel Ma'ara Dal Amos Rachav Baruch Sheish. So the cave itself is 4x6, that's length and width. Vigova HaMa'ara, now we're talking about the height of the cave, Mefurish B'Tosefta Arba Amos. So Rashbam quotes the Tosefta, which is 4 Amos tall. Okay.
Those recesses, those crypts, they were 1 Amos wide.
Or, yes. Yes, in fact, that's coming up right next. Ushnaim Kenegdo. Now, the Rashbam over here, I'm skipping a couple of Rashbams. I'm doing the Rashbam Ushnaim Kenegdo, Shal Pesach Bekosa, Amtsai Sherech Vadalin. Vechain Sidram. Now, the Rashbam over here is going to be very specific in the details of how to configure the 8 crypts along each cave. And again, according to the Tanakhama, there are 2 caves, one jutting out opposite each other from the Chatzer. So, the Rashbam writes, and again, very specific detail. Vechain Sidram, Marchik Dalin. Okay, so here's what we're going to do. Okay, again, we are now into the cave, right outside the chatzer, going now into the cave, and you now skip a half an amma, and then you dig your first crypt. And the crypt itself is going to be, the entrance to the crypt is going to be 6 tfachim, which makes sense, meaning we're talking about a human body. A human's body width is an amma. Dahainu amma. Now, the truth of the matter is, we can even be a little bit more specific over here as well, in terms of the width of a human body. The width of a human body is an amma, so it's actually less. Now, I understand, people are different, shapes of people are different. I'm obviously, we are generalizing, and we're averaging over here. So, obviously, some people are bigger, some people are smaller. But, on an average standpoint, the width of a human body is an amma. Now, the Gemara and Sukkah, I know it's a funny Gemara to bring up right now, but the Gemara and Sukkah, when talking about a configuration of a sukkah, the Gemara says you have to apportion an amma for each person sitting around the table. So in other words, the width of a human body is typically an amma. Over here, we have to assume that's actually going to be a little bit less than an amma. Because remember, we're measuring now the width of the hole in which we're going to insert the body. So we're going to assume that the body is actually a little bit narrower.
Table leaves are 18 inches.
Yes, yes, yes. Okay, yeah, perfect. Perfect. That works out perfectly. So mizavet zekosa aruch shofsad pesach lechofer kuch rachav sheish tvachim dahainu amma. I'm reading the Rashbam. Umeniach kosal amma vechofer kuch sheni. And then what you're going to do is now you're going to space it now another amma, and then you're going to make your kuch sheni. Now you're going to make your second crypt. Again, we're just walking now along one side of the cave. Umeniach kosal amma vechofer kuch shlishi. Amma, umeniach chatzi amma. Bezavis parnasas kosel shel vav amos l'shlosha kuchim gimel amos l'shnei avirim shebeneim shtei amos l'shtei azavis chatzi amma dahainu vav amos. And by doing this configuration, a half an amma, an amma, a space of an amma, another space of an amma, another amma, another half amma, so you're going to get to a total of 6 ammas. And that is how we go along the length of one of the caves, and by putting 3 crypts in there. And in terms of the opposite wall, so again, the Rashbam says same configuration. You're going to leave a space of a half an amma, then a crypt of an amma, then a space of an amma, then a crypt of an amma, then a space of a half an amma, and that's how you're going to have the 4 ammas against the opposite wall. And that brings you to the total of 6 ammas, 4 ammas, 6 ammas. Okay. Another, just one more interesting point, and that is, what is the assumed height of a human being? So the assumed height of a human being is 3 ammas. Now, we know that from a number...
For the body and one for the
body. Okay. So we know, I'm going to get to that. So we know that from a number of different contexts in terms of the, we know that from a number of different contexts. That a height of a human body is 3 amas. First of all, we know by mikvah, right? We say that when a person tovels in the mikvah, so their entire body must be encased by the water, meaning you cannot tovel in just one body part at a time. Therefore, the mikvah has to be large enough in order to facilitate that the entire body can go into the mikvah. What is the linear dimension of the mikvah? We know that the mikvah is 40 saw, but what is the linear dimension of a mikvah? So the Gemara tells us it's 3 amas by 1 amah by 1 amah. That has to be the minimum area of a mikvah. So you see that the assumption is that the height of a human body is generally 3 amas. Now, as Ben points out, I'll show you Tosus in just a moment, in terms of the height of a person. So we generally assume that the height is 3 amas, but does that all the way to the head, or is that just to the shoulders? So I'm going to read one more line in the Mishnah, and we'll discuss. V'kuchen Arkan Arba Amos, Veroman Sheva, Verachvan Shisha. Now the crypt itself, the Mishnah describes, the crypt itself is going to be, the length is 4 amos, the height is 7 tfachim, and the width is going to be 6 tfachim. Okay, so the crypt is going to be 4 amos, basically by 1 by 1 amah. But that's not exact, because the Mishnah says the height is 7 tfachim. So again, let's just spend a couple of moments talking about these dimensions. So as I pointed out, the height of a human body is generally assumed to be 3 amas. The crypt itself is going to be 4 amas deep. So there's plenty of room for the body to go in. Now, I just repeat, the 3 amas that we assume the height of a human body is that up to the head, or is that just up to the shoulders? Tosfos writes on the very top of Kuf Amud Beis, the top Tosfos, Vakuchen Arkadalan, we're talking about the length of the crypt, which is 4 amas. Pesh Rabbeinu Shmuel, Shameis Gimel Amos, Shvil Ha'aron, Sarach Ha'ama Revis. So he quotes the Rashbam. I could have quoted the Rashbam inside. Okay, either way. He quotes the Rashbam. The Rashbam says, well, you know, the height of a human body is typically 3 amas. And then, so if that's true, why do I need 4 amas of the crypt to go into, why does the length of the crypt have to be 4 amas? So, quoting the Rashbam, Tosfos writes, well, you know, the Aron is going to take up space as well. But Tosfos says, but I ain't near it. The Beperka Matznia. But Tosfos says, no, if you go look at the Gemara in Shabbos, Mashman Behedja, Da'ad Ktefav Sha'adam, Gimel Amos. We know that, yes, a person is 3 amos, but only up to the shoulders. Da'amrin Nahasam Aron, Tesvekaparos, Tefachare Kanasar, Vigamir, Koltuna, Demidli Bemotas, Tilsam El El, Trey Tilsam El Tachas, Vishtaka, Vilamalam El Sarah, Havakai, Demik Tefav Adla Mata Yudches Tvachim, Vitre Tilsi Shisha Tvachim, Shnei Shlishim, Ishtakech, the Malam Yud Alf, Vishlish Kai. I didn't need to read all that. I did. I'm not regretting it. But anyway, the Gemara in Shabbos is talking about the Levim carrying the Aron. And again, I'm not going to go through the math right now, but based on the dimensions of how big the Aron is and where they're carrying it, it's clear from that Gemara over there that the 3 amah height of a person is only to the shoulders. Because the Gemara over there was assuming that the Aron is being carried on the shoulders, and the Gemara talks about the Aron and how, when lifted on the shoulders, how far off the ground is it? Anyway, 3 amahs is up to the shoulders. The head obviously is going to be more than that. Tosfos then continues to write. V'hakuchin da'arkan arba amot sav'ar v'rosha v'dapi ha'aron. So now, Tosfos says, my numbers work out a little bit better, because the 3 amah height of a human being is only up to the shoulders. Why does the kuch have to be 4 amahs? Now I understand. The extra amah is going to account for the head, the walls of the aron. So that's why the kuch has to be 4 amahs. But in other words, the 3 amah height is only up to the shoulders, not the head. Okay. That is, and one other point to take into consideration, and that is the height of the crypt. The height of the crypt is going to be 7 tfachim. Why not 6 tfachim? Meaning the general assumption is that the width of a human body is going to be an amah. And that's going shoulder to shoulder. For sure, the height is not going to be more than an amah. Why is the height of the crypt going to be 7 tfachim and an extra tefach? Last Rashbam on the Amud, V'roman Sheva, and the height is going to be 7. Rashbam writes, Achnis Aron Berevach, to make sure that when the Aron goes in, there's going to be a little bit of airspace between the Aron and the crypt above. and the ceiling of the crypt. But vegam lios avir tefach man karkal aron shelo latame haovrim derech ha'ma'ara. Yes, says Tosfos. The Rashbam. Because now with that airspace of one tefach above the kever, so that means that if you're walking on top of it, and you're going to see, as we cover now a good part of today's daf, there are going to be times when you're going to be walking on top of a kever. And when you're walking on top of a kever, you're not going to become tummy. Because what that one tefach of airspace is going to do, it's going to capture the tumah. Tumah only goes straight up if there's no ceiling to catch it. Once there's a ceiling to catch the tumah, so then the tumah stops. What is that airspace necessary in order to catch the tumah? The answer is one tefach. So that is why the height of each one of the crypts are going to be 7 tefachim, 6 for the aron, and that last airspace is in order to catch the tumah. Okay. That was a lot. Okay, next. Okay, we're on the very top of Kuf Aleph Amud Aleph. So we have now described and designed a cave, a burial cave, according to the Tanna Kamma. Okay, again, look at the picture, the first picture, and you could see the Mishnah did not describe the Chatzir. That will be described in just a moment in the Mishnah. First, we're going to see Shitas Rabbi Shimon, and I'll just make one last point regarding the Tanna Kamma's viewpoint, which is a simple observation. It may, in fact, be correct. Now, if you look together at the Maharaz, we went through the details of the cave. So how many people are buried in each cave? So the answer is 8. 8 people are buried in each cave. Again, I go back to what I said earlier this morning. Think about the first Ma'ara that was purchased in the Torah, Ma'aras HaMachpelah. How many people were buried in Ma'aras HaMachpelah? The number is 8. Meaning the Dalzugos, the 4 pairs. So again, it's a simple correlation that the general assumption is that 8 people are buried per each cave. Okay, so the number 8 obviously is significant. The Torah, in its very first recollection of a cave, you have 8 people burying in that cave. When you're buying a Stam Ma'ara, so there are 8 crypts over there. So 8 is obviously an important number in this regard. And again, in terms of more significance of that, you don't turn to me for that. You'll turn to people who understand numbers and things that are things much deeper than I do. But in other words, clearly the significant number is the number 8 in terms of how many people are buried over there. Okay, so according to the Tanna Kamma, we have a courtyard. The courtyard is also subterranean, and then the courtyard itself is going to, according to the Tanna Kamma, exit into 2 caves. And in each cave, you're going to have 8 people burying in each cave, as we've configured already earlier this morning. Continuing now in the Mishnah, Rabbi Shimon Omer. Now, Rabbi Shimon's arguing, and this is just an interesting argument, meaning Rabbi Shimon will disagree in terms of what a Stam Ma'ara will look like. Okay, so if you're Rabbi Shimon and you're contracting someone to build a cave, what is it going to look like? Rabbi Shimon Omer, Osa Tocha Shamara, Sheshamos Ashmona, Uposech Lesocha Shlosha Asar Koch. So according to Rabbi Shimon, it's going to be 8 by 6. Each cave is going to be 8 amas by 6 amas, and you're going to have 13 crypts in each one of the caves. Okay, now don't ask me for the significance of the number 13. According to Rabbi Shimon, I'm happy that I gave you something for the Tanna Kamma and the 8 crypts for the Tanna Kamma. 13 crypts per cave, according to Rabbi Shimon, and then arba mikanva shosh mechanegdan. And in terms of how those 13 are going to be configured, it's going to be 4 plus 4 plus 3. That only brings us to 11. We still got 2 more to go. Echad miyamin apesach echad min asmal. One to the right of the entrance, one to the left of the entrance. Okay, where exactly crypt number 12 and 13 are going to go? The Mishnah is not very clear. The Mishnah just says simply against the entrance. So the Gemara is going to spend a little bit of time this morning trying to find out exactly, according to Rabbi Shimon, where crypts 12 and 13 are going. Stay tuned. That's coming up a little bit later on. V'ose chatzar al pi ma'ara. Now we're going to make a chatzar. Now, the Mishnah over here is basically reboot the Mishnah. Meaning now the Mishnah gave us a machlok between the Tanna Kamma and Rabbi Shimon, and now we're going back and we're just simply now describing the chatzar. So there was an antechamber that was set up in front of the Ma'ara. This too was subterranean. And Sheish al Sheish, Kamalo Hamita Vikovreha. And the chatzar was 6 by 6. 6 by 6 basically, so that when we're going to bring the Aron into the cave, so it's a logistic issue. It's a simple logistic issue. You want to have maneuverability as you enter into the cave. There's going to be you. There's going to be somebody else. There's going to be an Aron, which is going to be approximately 4 amas long and an ama wide. So you want enough space in the courtyard so that everyone could basically turn around. The people, the aron itself, the people holding the aron. So that's why the chatzer has to be minimum 6 by 6 amas. Now the Mishnah says that there are two caves that are opening up from the chatzer. Again, as I mentioned, the Mishnah here is rebooting, so that means that we're now back to the position of the Tanakama. Tanakama, as you see in the first picture in the Rashbam, is describing where there are two caves, each one exiting on opposite sides of the chatzer, of the central courtyard, and that's how it's going to look like according to the Tanakama. So now you have a complete picture of what the chatzer and the two caves opening up from the chatzer are going to look like according to the Tanakama. That's the first picture on the Amud. Rabbi Shimon Omer Arba La Arba Ruchoseha. And Rabbi Shimon says, no. What you're going to have is you're going to have four caves exiting from the central chatzer in all four directions. Now, if you take a look at Rabbi Shimon's picture, so obviously we are talking about a lot of crypts, a lot of caves, and the obvious issue, as you look at the picture, obviously this is a two-dimensional picture, and like one of those pictures with a built-in irony. So obviously over here we have a built-in irony in this two-dimensional picture, and that is you have crypts overlapping one another. Now in a two-dimensional picture, obviously that doesn't work. You cannot, right? In other words, look at the second picture in the Rashbam. You have crypts 1 and 2, and each of the caves overlapping over crypts 1 and 2 of the neighboring cave. And that, obviously, physically that can't work. So the solution must be, Ben figured it out already, is that there must be that it's staggered in terms of height. So that one obviously is higher than the other in terms of elevation. That has to be the solution. Back to the Mishnah, and there's a third opinion in the Mishnah. So far, if I contract somebody to build a kever for me, so what is that going to consist of? According to the Tanakhama, one chatzer, two caves, 8 crypts per cave. According to Rabbi Shimon, one chatzer, 4 caves, 13 crypts per cave. And there's a third opinion in the Mishnah, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, Omer HaKolafi HaSela. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, as a third opinion in this Mishnah, says, in terms of how many crypts you're going to build, it is all going to be based on the stone that was purchased, meaning the amount of earth that was actually purchased. You look at it, and based on that, you're going to determine how big a crypt you're going to build versus how small a crypt you're going to build. So it's subjective, it's not objective, according to Rabbi Shimon Ben Gamliel. Okay. With all that stated, now let's continue. We are now in the Gemara, right after the Mishnah. The Gemara immediately goes to attack or to understand the position of Rabbi Shimon in our Mishnah, where you have a total of 13 crypts per cave. And according to Rabbi Shimon, what the Gemara is bothered by right now is a very simple question, and that is, where is crypt numbers 12 and 13 going to go? Because if you could just, in other words, take a look at the second picture, just so that we're all looking at the same picture, I'm looking now at the east cave. Okay, so at the east cave, now you already have the answer in the picture. So, do me a favor, ignore those two diagonal crypts that you're looking at right now. Ignore them right now. So in other words, pretend that you're looking at just 4 crypts to the south, 4 crypts to the north, and 3 crypts to the east. And now what the Gemara wants to know is, where do crypts numbers 12 and 13 go? Again, ignore the diagonals for a moment. That's the solution. The Gemara is not there yet. The Gemara is still at the problem. Where do crypts numbers 12 and 13 go? Elevrai. So the Gemara says, well, maybe it goes outside. Now, when the Gemara says outside, what is the Gemara proposing over here? So again, take a look back at the Mishnah when the Mishnah actually presents the language of where crypts 12 and 13 go. The Mishnah says, I'm reading the Mishnah, V'shlosha mechanegdam, ve'echad miyamina pesach, ve'echad minasmol. One to the right of the entrance and one to the left of the entrance. So again, go drop to the picture and look at the east cave. So where's the entrance? The entrance obviously is going to be on the east cave all the way to the west, meaning right at the chatzer. The Gemara right now thinks that crypts number 12 and 13 are going to be placed right at the entrance of that cave. And that's strange, because where are you digging into? Presumably, where you're going to dig into is subterranean under the chatzer. That's what the Gemara is proposing right now in terms of where Crypt 12 and 13 are going to go. So basically, again, in that east cave, we're going to go to the west side of the east cave, and we're going to dig two crypts, and they're going to go underneath the Chatzer. That is what, and that's what the Gemara means when the Gemara says Livrai, outside, meaning outside the cave, into the Chatzer. So the Gemara says no. Gemara says that can't be. Back to the Gemara. Ha kam mita shei lehu. So first of all, the Gemara says that means that as we stand in the Chatzer, we're going to be standing on a grave. And the Gemara says, and you're not allowed to do that. Now, walking over a grave, the Rashbam points out over here. Okay, it's not the end of the world. Meaning if we're forced to be in a position where we're walking over a grave, obviously you want to avoid it. And especially if you're considered towards Tumah, so then you obviously want to avoid it. But even if Tumah is not a factor. In other words, walking over a grave is obviously disrespectful, but under certain circumstances, it's acceptable. Standing on a grave, meaning it would not make sense that the Chachamim would institute a minhag in which there would be permanent crypts under the Chatzer, so that when a person's standing in the Chatzer, he's just going to be standing on top of a grave. Can't be, the Gemara says. Just doesn't make any sense. Vesu, and the Gemara says, and furthermore.
Even if you've got the one cup of space, it's still the same.
Yeah, in other words, right. In other words, it's right. It's still a lack of cover. So, and furthermore, says the Gemara, V'su atanam, we learned in a Mishnah, Chaser HaKever Al Mebesocha Tahor, a Mishnah in Ovalos tells us that when you're standing in the Chatzer, you can assume to be in a state of Tahara. And so therefore, it cannot be that a crypt is going to be built underneath the Chatzer. Now it is true. Very good. Now it is true, as I explained earlier this morning, that there was a designed one tefach airspace that separates the Aron and the top and the roof of the crypt. So in order to catch the Tumah, that's true. And that means then that even if the crypt is to be built underneath the Chatzer, there would still be blockage of Tumah. However, what I did not discuss, and I'm just going to mention briefly, is that there still is a Tumah Derabanan if you were to walk on top of it. The Mishnah in Olos tells us that when you're sitting in the Chatzer, there is no Tumah. Not a Tumah d'Oraisa, not even a Tumah d'Rabbanan when you are in the Chatzer. So being that that's the case, so now the Gemara says, it cannot be. Your proposal is not right. Crypts 12 and 13 are not to be dug underneath the Chatzer. So now, we need a new solution. Where are crypts 12 and 13 going to be dug? Amar Rav Yosef, Rabbi Chinin, Davilu, Kemin, Nagar. So the Gemara says, well, I'll tell you what we'll do. In other words, we'll go into the cave. This is all, again, according to Rabbi Shimon. We'll go into the cave, and somewhere in the cave, we'll dig holes down, and we'll throw the body down so that the body will be resting in a vertical position. Okay? Now, we all have a visceral reaction to that. We don't know why we have a visceral reaction to that, but we all have a visceral reaction to that, very similar to the kind of reaction the Gemara is going to have to such a proposal. Hamar of Yochanan. Rav Yochanan states, Kfuras chamorim hi zu. This is how donkeys get buried. This is not human burial. Bodies do not get buried just by putting down vertically into the ground. The burial is like a bed, where the body is lying down horizontally. That is a human burial. So again, the Gemara, although for a moment suggested that maybe there'll be a hole being dug into the ground and the body resting vertically, the Gemara says absolutely not. The Gemara dismisses it categorically. So, Rav Yochanan de Avalahu Bekeren Zavis. So the Gemara says that what we're going to do is, we are going to bury the body, Bekeren Zavis, in the corner. Now you can turn back the page and you can look back at the Rashbam, and I asked you to ignore the diagonal, so now no, don't ignore them anymore. Okay, now the answer, the solution to the problem of where are crypts 12 and 13 going to be buried? So the answer is going to be in the adjacent corner of the Ma'aros, meaning when you're reading the Mishnah says, Echad miyamina pesach v'echad min asmol, one to the right of the entrance and one to the left of the entrance. But when we say to the right and to the left of the entrance, we don't mean flush against the entrance, we mean opposite against the entrance. So now, as you look at the picture, again, I'm focusing on the east cave, so now the crypts 12 and 13 are going to be all the way on the east side and cutting into the diagonal of the 2. The Gemara over here is still bothered. It's just not enough room to negotiate in that eastern corner. So the Gemara says, "Ha kanagi kuchen lahadadi." Aren't the crypts basically going to be knocking one against the other? So the Gemara says, "Ela bemamik hachanami bemamik." So the Gemara says that's true, but the Gemara says, "But you are again assuming two dimensions." The Gemara says you don't have to assume two dimensions. Over here, what we're going to do into that corner is we're basically going to dig into the corner, creating enough space so that we have room for, again, looking at that east cave. I'm now in the northeast corner of that east cave. So you're going to have enough room for the most northeast, the most north eastbound cave, the most all against the eastern wall, the most northern cave. And then as you continue to dig into the corner, you're also going to have room for that diagonal koch as well. So the Gemara says, Bemamik. So that's what we're doing. We're digging into the corner in order to create enough room for the three crypts. Okay. Rav Huna Bered Rav Yoshua Amar. So the Gemara says, perhaps another solution as well to our problem. Again, the problem is, according to Rabbi Shimon, we have now 13 caves that are dug for each, 13 crypts dug for each one of the caves. So for 11, its configuration is very simple, as we already pointed out. So it would be 4, 4, and 3. 4 against the northern, 4 against the southern, and 4 against the eastern side in the east cave. The problem we had was crypts number 12 and 13. So the Gemara already gave us the solution, which is that crypt 12 and 13 are going to be flush into the diagonal of the cave. The Gemara now is going to suggest maybe there's another solution, and the Gemara here quotes Rav Huna Bered Rav Yoshua. Rav Huna Bered Rav Yoshua suggests Amar Arba Ma'aris Le Rabbi Shimon De Avid Lahu Kicha Rusa. So the Gemara says, well, maybe what we'll do is that we will bury it looking like a palm frond. Okay, the word charusa, you remember the Gemara in Sukkah in the third parak? The Gemara over there uses that language to describe the lulav. Actually, the Gemara over there does not want the charusa to be used for the lulav because it has to be closed, because darche darche noam, the ways of the Torah are pleasant. It has to be a closed palm frond. It cannot be an open palm frond. But what the Gemara now is suggesting is basically a configuration of an open palm frond. Now, you take a look at the board. I just drew very simply a... this is, according to Rabbi Shimon, this is one cave going in the eastbound direction. This is one cave going in a northbound direction. Each one of them is 8 amas, according to Rabbi Shimon. Now, if you do the hypotenuse, like I did over there on the board, so you're going to see that what you have as a hypotenuse is only 11 and a fifth. And the Gemara is going to point out now over here, this is really difficult, because what we're trying to do is create room for 13 crypts. What Rav Huna Bered Rav Yeshua was suggesting is that the way the 13 is that they're all going to be going in the diagonal direction. And so basically what it's going to end up looking is like a palm frond. Now, I am not drawing each one of the crypts to scale, and as you could probably tell, the reason why is because there's just simply not going to be enough room. With only 11 and a fifth going along the hypotenuse, there's simply not enough room for 13 crypts. And keep in mind, 13 crypts, and also space between the 13 crypts. They can't obviously, right? Previously, according to the Tanakhama, we accounted 1 am of space between each one of the crypts. Over here, it's not going to fit. And the Gemara notes exactly that point.
The length, the same thing, the bottom, right? It's shorter than the middle.
The Gemara points out immediately. V'had Rav Huna Bered Rav Yeshua Barusahi, and the Gemara says that Rav Huna Bered Rav Yeshua is Barusa. We have the term a lot throughout the Gemara. Barusa means it can mean one of two things. It can either mean bara, meaning it's outside. It's outside the pale. It does not belong in this discussion. It just simply doesn't work. Or the other gears in the Gemara is Bedusahi. Bedusa means it's a joke. Joke meaning not like ha-ha joke, meaning but like it's not it's the same basic idea. Not to be taken seriously, meaning it's a suggestion, but it's not a good suggestion. Michti. And the Gemara here goes through the math, and again, you'll see I basically did it. Kol amta b'rivua amta v'treichum shebalachson. So the Gemara says, look, when you have a square, so that hypotenuse that cuts across the square is a ratio of, for every amma on the side of the square, it's going to be an amma and two-fifths. Okay, and our triangles, right, when we teach geometry to the kids, so we have x, x, and x times the square root of 2. Okay. It's the same basic idea. So, kama havalu chatzre v'chumsha. So the Gemara says, so now, running along that diagonal, so it's 11 and a fifth, like you see on the board. Kuchin kama have tamnayam. So the Gemara says, now, how many kuchin do we have? So the Gemara says we have 8 kuchin. Now, I'm sorry, I said previously that we had 13. Meaning, this is where I was wrong. Meaning it's not going to be 13, it's only going to be 8. Because remember that what we had is, according to Rabbi Shimon, we had on each side, you had 4 on each side. So you had 4 on each side, so 4 to the, yeah, you know what I drew 4. On the southern side, I drew 4. So you have 4 going, four going up from one and 4 going up from the other. But the Gemara says, but that's still not going to work. Tamnaya bechatzre v'chumsha echa mishkachalei. 8 crypts for 11 and a fifth is not going to be enough. As we pointed out, there has to be space between each crypt. And we assume an amma space between each crypt. It's simply not going to work. So elahad ravuna b'ra d'rav Yeshua b'rusahi. So the Gemara says that basically it's barusa, it's to be excluded, it's not the solution. So we go back to what we said earlier this morning, the solution in terms of crypts number 12 and 13 is it's going to be in the corner, diagonal going out from each of the corners of the cave. Okay, adkan. So really the Gemara spent most of its time in today's daf just trying to figure out where crypts 12 and 13 belong. One more line for today's daf, and then we'll stop for today, and we'll continue tomorrow. Ebay Sam. But the Gemara now is going to make another suggestion. And again, the Gemara is still working out where crypts 12 and 13 are to be dug. So once again, the problem that just simply exists is there's no room. There's no room for crypts 12 and 13. So the Gemara gives another suggestion, and that is Kidam Rav Shisha Breid Rav Idi Benefili Hachanam Benefili. So the Gemara says another suggestion would be as follows. And that is that some of the crypts are not going to be 4 amos into the ground. Don't need to be 4 amos into the ground because Rachman Litzlan, because unfortunately, what happened and it was much more common back then than it is now, and that is stillborns. So you had a lot of stillborns. Stillborns need to be buried. And the minhag is to bury the stillborn. The minhag halacha is to bury the stillborn. And obviously when you're burying a stillborn, it does not need to be 4 amas. So what they did is they recessed into the crypts, small little holes into the crypts for the eventuality and the probability that there's going to be stillborns that need to be buried into the crypts. And so when you're now making these crypts numbers 12 and 13, they do not have to be the standard size of 4 tefachim into the ground, 7 tefachim high, I'm sorry, 4 amas into the ground, 7 tefachim high, 6 tefachim wide. It doesn't have to be that configuration. It would simply be enough for them to be small little holes into the ground. Once you're saying that, so then we have enough space to create a crypt for numbers 12 and 13. That's the Gemara. It's another suggestion of the Gemara. Let's quickly wrap up today's daf. Okay, we have discussed so far today what is the standard configuration of a cave, of a burial plot. The reason why is so that in the halachas of transaction, when I either buy a land or I contract somebody to build a cave, what is, if we are not specific to the details, what is it going to look like? Our Mishnah brought in 3 opinions. The first opinion of the Tanakhama is that it's going to have a central chatzar of 6x6 amos, and it's going to have two caves opening up on opposite ends. Each cave is going to be housing 8 crypts, and that is what a standard cave is going to look like according to the Tanakhama. A standard cave, according to Rabbi Shimon, is going to start off with the same courtyard of 6x6 in the middle, 4 caves opening up to the 4 sides, and each cave is going to open up to 13 crypts. And according to Rabbi Shimon Gamliel of the Mishnah, actually there is no standard cave, it's just simply going to be a function of how big an area we are talking about. That is going to be the determining factor of the size of the chatzer and the resulting caves as well. And what we spent a lot of time doing this morning is just simply going over the math, the numbers, in terms of the configuration, the actual linear measurements of what the cave is going to look like, together with its with its central courtyard. And the Gemara's discussion today revolved around the sheet of Rabbi Shimon, where you're going to have a cave of 6 by 8, and you're going to have 13 crypts being built into the cave. And really, what we spent most of our time in the Gemara doing today was trying to figure out where crypts numbers 12 and 13 are going to belong. The first 11 are very easy to configure. 4, 3, 4 going around the cave. It's just a question of where crypts 12 and 13 are, and the Gemara ended up with two suggestions. One is that they're going to be dug into the diagonal. Now, granted that in the diagonal itself it doesn't fit immediately, you're going to actually first start digging into the diagonal, and then from there you're going to dig a 12th and a 13th cave. Or another suggestion of the Gemara is that you're going to be making small little crypts for the Nephilim, for the stillborns. Okay, well, we'll stop over here. Tomorrow we pick it up.